get to it.
I am thrilled that you're here today. We have a powerful, simple message that I think will help you. We have been in a series in the entire month called All In. Everybody say All In. In order for you to protect your future, in order for you to have the life that I think God wants you to have, you have to improve your thinking. If you don't improve your thinking, you can have whatever dream you want to have. You can go to college, get a degree, you can do whatever you want to do, and you think it will change your life. I have a birthday coming up next month. Man. And it's on the 26th, I had to think, because they're having my little gathering here on the 27th, and I don't know what time is it going to be. I don't know, it's 6 o'clock? It's a Saturday, so it's probably going to be 6-ish. I like aging when you don't hurt. That part, right? And one of the things that I like about aging is you learn things you didn't know. You think differently. Your mind goes to different places. You respect things you didn't respect before. No one has to tell you certain things because now you know. Can you say, now I know?
Now I know.
So it's in your mind, you're clear, you're not confused. A lot of what I do and don't do is tied to that experience. There's a project I'm working on. It's called 40 Years of Wisdom. It's called 40 Plus Years of Wisdom. And out of it will come Bible studies, books, and stuff. I'm working really hard on it. And because I finished the doctorate degree, I'm done. Praise God. I'm done. Yeah. Some of you are wondering, what in the world? Why? I think at different stages you feel certain ways. 5 years ago, I felt like I needed to know something about something. So I said, well, let me go and learn something about something. And it led to this doctoral program, which focuses for me on burnout. And I am really, really, really surprised that even after all the years of work, I don't feel brilliant. I feel hungry. I feel as if I now know what I didn't know and still know I need to know more. Because when you learn a lot, you see what you don't know. And if anything, if you're really smart, it makes you humble. And I really feel that my perspective has changed. And on my birthday, when I get, I'm going to talk about some of that. I'm going to give a testimony that I've never given publicly. My journey, my academic journey, my feelings and thoughts about things I've learned. And I feel it would help young people. I feel it would help you. And I just think sometimes in life, on the other side of an experience, you change. You have one vision going in, but when you get to the other side of it, you change. Your view of the world changes. And that's what happened in this Bible text we're going to study today in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. The disciples waited for this promise. The promise comes, and they're surprised. Like me, they're shocked. They can't believe that this promise has changed. You know, you wanted to get married, right? Have children. And now you're like, okay, I have these people. But if I knew now, then, two of you wouldn't be born. Somebody would have been left out, because I'm telling you what. Come on, say it's not.
It's not.
I work with the preacher. Come on, say it's not.
It's not.
What I planned.
How
do you manage those moments when it's not what you planned? You go through all this expense. You go through all this. You get married. You get up. You get all dressed up. You pay all this money. You feed all these non-hungry people, right? They're not starving. But you spend all your money. You pay for years to pay off the wedding. And then you look over and you go, oh, God, I could have saved that money. Your heart, you can just look at me. It's okay. There are moments. You went to school. You paid for this master's degree in this, and you work for these crazy people. You go every day and you say, how did I do this to myself? You sit in this office with these people who are lying to you. They told you, they gave you all, and you're sitting there, give me a break. You went to school to teach, not to negotiate fights. You are not a sumo wrestler, but you walk in the class And they're cussing. You can't believe it. You send them to the principal. They send them back to you. You send them to the principal. They send them back to you. Then they send you a note. Don't send them back. Come on, say amen, somebody.
Amen.
You didn't say it loud enough. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, it's scary. We have teachers. This is how long their teaching career lasts. First day, last day. That's it. One more time. You ready? Come on, say first day.
First day.
Last day. That's it. They back. They out. It's over. That's it. You can't believe. I'm a big school fan. That's why I'm a big school fan. I am. I just understand that for some people, on the other side of the dream is disappointment. And that's what this day is about. Jesus came and died, and the disciples believed. It's over now. Oh, boy. That's right. The man who raised the dead gonna let you Roman soldiers know what time it is. They had an expectation, especially after they saw him after the resurrection. They were like, oh, man, we got Superman with us. Well, watch what happened. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. All right, 40 days talking about the kingdom. All right, this is going in the right direction. Watch verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. And, you know, when people tell you, wait, something good is coming, you start fantasizing. I'm going to get off topic for a minute. I worked at a brokerage firm. I was in college. They were all rich. I was a gopher. I was going to be impressed. I worked in Beverly Hills. And I'm telling you, I worked for one of the richest brokers in the firm. And they heard Ricky was leaving, graduating from college, and we're going to have a gathering up in Santa Monica near the beach for him. Ooh, my fantasy started kicking in. Ooh, the rich people gonna have a party for me. Oh boy, it's gonna be amazing. Rich people, come on, say rich people.
Rich people.
Not poor people, rich people. This ain't in South Central, this is in Santa Monica. Right off the beach. So I go there with my happy face on, my wife just got married. You know what I'm saying? We go up there, go up the elevator. Oh, it's beautiful. That's right, it was beautiful, it was beautiful. And man, they gave me a gift box. And I saw that gift box. I said, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say, thank you, Jesus. And I opened that box with joy. I could see the check already. I saw the check. I knew there was a check in there. You know what I'm saying? Had to be a check in there, right? Because I'm with what people?
Rich
people. You know how I knew they were rich? Because I used to make deposits for them. That was one of my jobs. My job used to be to make deposits. I used to go to the bank and for the company, I can say it now because nobody's going to get me because I ain't got nothing now. But I used to deposit $4, $5, $6, $7 million a day. And you know how I knew it was? Because when you took it to the bank, you had to bring back the receipt. So I'd go to the window and I'd deposit the money and I had to make sure that it was $3,432.17. And $4 million, I had to make sure, you see. And then they would tell me on the weekend, hey, Ricky, do me a favor. Go down to the bank and give me some weekend money. They gave me $20,000, $10,000 checks. They tell me to go get their checks cashed. I used to take their paychecks to the bank. Everybody say rich people.
Rich.
So I knew they had money. So I knew when they having a party for Ricky. Are you with me?
Yes.
This is going to be a party for sure. So I go down there with the joy on. Man, I hold what? Gift box. Open the gift box. Can't wait. Smiling. Teeth. Everything. Jesus. Not what I expected. I pull out them, what you call them things you cook it, mitts. You know the mitts. You pick up hot food with. What you call those? What? Oven mitts. Two of them. One said Diane and one said Ricky. You know how you're trying to say, then they ask me, got any words? I say, oh, no. They coming, the words. I done deposited all these millions of dollars for y'all. I done picked up this thousands of dollars. And y'all gonna tell me, you gonna tell me, you owe me some. I ain't even got an oven. I'm in a ring. I don't even want an oven. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. True story. Sometime on the other side, you're surprised. Jesus said, all right, guys. He said, you know, John baptized, verse 5, with water, but a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, they don't know what that means. They're confused. And so they wait around and nothing's happening. He done rose from the dead and they kind of waiting around. And then, verse 6, then they gathered around him. Read this with me, please. Come on. Then they what? Gathered around him and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, you've been talking about the kingdom, but are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? We've been waiting and we're on the other side of the resurrection. So we need you to kind of speak to us and let us know. We've been here 40 days talking about the kingdom. We have an expectation because we're on the other side of the, you know, the death and the bad days and all that. We're on the other side. So here's what happens. You ready? Here's the response. It's amazing. Oh, it's phenomenal. Here's what he said. He said to them, Jesus said, it's not for you to know. Translate, none of your business. Or ghetto, none of you. All that's bad. I don't understand how you could say after all these years of serving with you and doing with you and suffering with you, people trying to kill us, your answer to me, we watch you go on the cross and die, rise from the dead, all this, and all you can say to me is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. You just telling me I don't have a security clearance. I can't know this. Yeah, if you're honest, you have questions for God, and you'd say, I got saved, laid down these habits, whatever. I'm on the other side. And your answer is you don't know. I can't know. Yeah. That's the decision he made. You know, if you can go back and know some things you wanted to know, you would have messed up everything. Sometimes you don't need to know where the money's coming from because you go early. You don't need to know who your husband's going to be because you be bothering him all the time. Passing by his house, driving by. He'll think you're a stalker. He wouldn't know you. You know what I'm saying? That's why God don't tell you things. Because, you know, if God told me your wife is on the other coast all the way in Georgia. I told Diane the other day. I said, Diane, God had to send me to your door because you wasn't going to find me. I had to come in a house. God knew. She used to pray that prayer, Lord, wherever he had sent him. He did, all the way to a house. But God has a way. Now, that's not going to necessarily be your answer. But I did not know that God would even have me pastor or preach. I didn't know it. I was talking to some police officers the other day, and I've been honored to do these sessions with police officers, the new recruits. And I always say to them, I say, I one day wanted to be you. That was my dream. I thought I'd be on your side, but God had me on this side. And they always ask me why. I said, I just believe I'm wired to be here. But I never thought I could be here. I didn't see myself as an academic person. I didn't see myself as a preacher or a teacher or a public speaker. I didn't see any of that. And he didn't tell me. He led me there. Say it with me. Come on. He
led me.
One more time. Say it again.
He led me there.
A lot of times he can't tell you. Because first of all, you won't believe it. This is amazing for me. I'm amazed. Every day I say to some of the staff, I don't know how I got this job. How in the world I get this job? I'm up here and y'all looking at me like this. He couldn't tell me. He said, come on this way, Temple. Okay, turn left. Okay, go straight. Stop. Back up. All right, there you go. Turn left again. There you go. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to take you to a land you never planned before. I'm going to help you touch a lot of black folks, but I'm also get you around a whole lot of white people, Asian people. African people, I'm gonna broaden your world. I'm gonna help you see things you couldn't see before. I'm gonna take you to places, and I'm gonna surprise you. I'm gonna surprise you. God can give you an anointing in your life that you never knew, but you can't always know how. But you think you're supposed to. That's why you're mad. I prayed and asked God, and he told me none of my business. What is that about? Because you're not supposed to be focused on that. Can I get off again? Come on, tell me yes.
Yes.
You praying to be married. Let me talk to you for a second. You all up in the air because God ain't gave you your spouse yet. Did you know that you're going to spend most of your life single anyway? Count it up with me. You ready? Okay. Average person gets married now is 27. The average female is going to live at least 10 years beyond a husband. That's 37. They're about. Okay? Now, the average marriage lasts 17 years. They're about. Some of you say, oh, yeah, okay. And some of you say, that's good. I'm on the door now, Pastor Rick. I can see it. I'm about there. I'm about to clock out. I'm right on time. I know that was God. That's confirmation. Time to go. So you heard Pastor Rick. We almost out of time, boy. I'm putting up with you. We leaving this place. All right. 40%+ of your life, you will probably be single. Period. Married, good or not. On the good side, it's 30%. You're going to spend a good percentage of your life with you. And here's for you single people who don't understand this. When you get married, you're still going to be alone a lot. More than you expect. People ain't always going to be up under you. You ready? Here we go. Say, get
a
life. Come on, amen. Come on, say it again. Get a life. Diane loves me, but she ain't always up under me. She ain't always, she's got things to do. Sometimes I can tell she don't want to put up with me. She said, okay, I'm gone. I be saying, where you going? You want me to go? No, you don't have to go. What you about to do? You going someplace without me? What about me? You know what I mean? She said, I'm fine. See you. I see her drive off in a little fancy car, you know. I'd be looking at her out the window. Stand. Come on, say, get a life.
Get a life.
I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just saying, your kids ain't got time for you. You ain't figured that out yet. I love my grandchildren. I got two of them. I have two girls. The one's 8, Lonnie and Laura. They're cute. This is cute. 1 year old, she's about 15 months. And she, hi, that's her favorite word, hi, all the time. Just wonderful, cute little person. And Melanie's just amazing. She's just wonderful. She said, can I walk you to the car, pop, pops? Yes, Melanie, walk me to the car. I just want to see you. I love being with you. It makes it melt my heart. But I know what's going to happen. Don't be tricking me. I know what's going to happen. You're going to be too busy. That's what I heard. Is that right, grandparents? They don't call you. They literally say, hi. But when they want something, hey. Because you're the richest one in the family, so they call you. You know what I'm saying? And their parents say no. You're going to say what? Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Get my heart all tied up. Oh, I got to get done. Hold on. Ain't been but 18 minutes. Y'all give me a minute. Watch this. So the first thing he said to them, I love this. He says, you can't not know. I'm not telling you. Some things in life you can't know. Some things you just have to accept. You don't know how all of this is going to work. You don't know when the marriage is going to come or not. You don't know all of that. Stop trying to know everything. Second thing he told them was, watch this, I love this. He said, you can't know, you must wait till later. Look at verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He said, I'm going to give you power. You have to wait till later, come on, say later. Later, I'm going to give you power, this thing called the Holy Spirit. You don't know what that is either, right? And then he said, you're going to become martyrs for me. You're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem. The word witness, martyrs in Greek, it means you're going to be a martyr. Some of you are going to die for me. Okay, why you throw that in there? First you're leaving. Now you tell me, wait. And then you tell me some of us are going to be martyrs too. And then you say, and you're going to travel throughout the world. You go to Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Notice how much faith this requires. Then the last thing he says to them is this. And he said, I'll be back. When? That's his name. Isn't that the next question? Right? I'll be back.
When?
One more time, practice. I'll be back.
When?
Is that a fair question?
Yes.
Right? I'll be back. Watch this. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Now, okay, so we're in the middle of a conversation, and you start ghosting. You start leaping. Hey. We start talking. Right? We're in the middle of a conversation, and you start to run. I ain't never seen a man fly before anyway. It's like, okay. So they're looking. He's flying. And they're watching until he gets into the cloud, and they're stunned. They're just looking at the cloud. Well, you can't grab his feet. What do you do? Verse 9. Watch this. I'm sorry, verse 10. They were looking intently up into the sky, and he was going, and when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. I love this part. Then men of Galilee, they both talk at the same time. The Bible said, men of Galilee, verse 11, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Say that with me, please. Come on. Why do you stand here looking in the sky? Now, you got to understand, this is weird. Two guys talking at the same time, saying the same thing. Now, and you also want to go, who are you? Who are you? These two angels. Well, who are you? Okay, so this is getting spooky. So they're both talking at the same time. And they're asking, why are you looking up? Watch this. I love it. He said, the same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him. You don't understand, but I'm telling you right now, he'll be back. And if you look at your life, when it was down, when you were troubled, he came back. You can say in your life there were moments when you didn't see a way, but he showed you a way. Come on, say he came back. Come on, he came back. And I'm telling you right now, I believe in the end, despite all the politics, despite all the confusion, he's coming back again. In the end, we're going to win. In the end, God's going to rule. Come on, say amen if you hear me, church. Stand up on your feet. My time is up. I believe with all my heart that on the other side of a resurrection, there's confusion. On the other side of your victory, there are moments when you don't know the answer. But I believe he knows the answer. Father, I thank you for the word today. I thank you for the opportunity to gather with your people. I thank you for the power that you manifested in this room and at home. Those who are watching today, we pray for them. Katia, we pray for you. Aquinta, we pray for you today. So Chapel, we pray for you. We pray and believe that God's hand is on you. We believe that God's power is present with you right there in your house. Wherever you are, we believe that God's hand's on you. And we believe that God's going to touch you right now. In this room, if you are struggling in your walk with God, confused, not sure what's going on, and you want me to pray for your walk with God, this sermon encourages you. Just because you don't know all the answers doesn't mean you don't have the answer. It's coming your way. He's coming back to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want me to pray for your walk with God, raise your hand. Let me see who I'm praying for. Say, Pastor Rick, pray for my walk with God. I see one, I see two, I see three, I see four, I see five, I see five more, 10 more, I see 15 more. Father, touch these in this room. Heal, touch, deliver. Let this be a moment of blessing and healing. Those right now watching, touch them, oh God. Let this be the moment that they say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. And Father, we pray for those who are coming back to God, who gave up all hope. We leave this room believing that you make the difference. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Are you glad you came today? Come on, are you glad you came?